Welcome to the Simple Life podcast, where I take complex health and fitness ideas and break them down into bite-sized, actionable behaviors to simplify your routine so that you can reap the rewards and live a healthy and fulfilled life. I'll also be talking to experts on various topics to broaden your horizons and make sure that you are up to date and across all of the ways that you can improve your fitness, nutrition, and stress management practices. Let's get into it. Welcome to episode one of the Real Life Client Series. And I say real life because I think all too often in podcasts in particular, people who are interviewed are, you know, impressive, no doubt, but also entirely unrelatable to, you know, us average Joes. I consider myself an enormous average Joe. So I wanted to interview other people, average Joes like myself, who are also very unaverage in many ways. So I've brought our longest ever client at BD Fitness, Lucy Child, in for a chat about her own health and fitness, her mindset, what has changed over the now 8 years that she's been training with us, and basically how her views and practices have evolved. So welcome, Lucy.
Hi.
Just want to go all the way back to the beginning. So you started training with Danny, actually, at Pride in Clifton Hill.
Yep.
Talk me through the beginning. So, because you weren't a massive exerciser prior to that.
No, I'd never done a burpee. So I, the way they did it was that they had 12-week programs that you signed up for.
Yeah.
I went to the trial the day before a long weekend, a Friday.
Yep.
And then flew to Sydney that night. I could barely move anything.
Yep.
All of my muscles hurt. And because I am a tight ass, yep, I turned up the next week because I'd already paid for the 12-week.
So paid for it up front. I mean, us coaches know the more you pay, the more you pay attention. So interesting. But from there, so you would say, and you know, these are your own words, but how did you feel towards exercise at that stage? Like, was it something that you had enjoyed, like, through teenage years? I know you played sport, but what was your view towards like exercising because you had to, compared to because you enjoyed it?
I think I was trying to change or run away maybe from my diet. I was a full-time smoker,
yeah,
a full-time drinker, and I would have eaten out probably more than I ever ate at home.
So you were living your best life.
I was.
Yeah, and trying to out-train potentially a bad lifestyle.
Yeah.
So you were consistent for that 12 weeks, as hard as it may have been at the time. When did you start enjoying training?
Not long after that. When I started, I couldn't even squat an 8-kilo bar. It was a very low bar that I, or low standard that I'd started. And then suddenly I was putting, it felt sudden, but it wasn't, I was putting weights on a bar, squatting, feeling good. People were noticing how I looked and my body composition.
Yep.
And I had started thinking about sleep and food as fuel, and smoking less, and all the good stuff.
Yeah, so like all those changes that you would do now, second nature, kind of just became aware of those through the process, which I think a lot of people can relate to, is that initial, oh my God, this absolutely sucks.
Yeah.
And then starting to receive some positive feedback from that action and then taking it from there.
Yeah.
So started enjoying it after the 12 weeks and obviously followed us when we left that gym at the end of that year. I think you would have started around this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then started changing in the park. So you're one of our few clients who have kind of followed all the way through the progression. And as a result, like, we've sort of seen you grow and change through some pretty big experiences in your life, when you got married, when you've now had kids.
Mm-hmm.
What was the biggest lesson that you learned early days of training that you think has kind of held you in a good place now?
Sorry.
That's all right.
That it wasn't, that it really changed the way that I thought about it as something that I had to do to something that I now base my whole life around. I plan when I'm going to work out, and I don't feel like I miss out on anything because of it. You know, waking up at 5:30 isn't for everybody all the time.
Yep.
And it definitely wasn't for me for many, many years.
I remember you said you'd never be a morning trainer.
I did.
And that would come as a shock to all of the 6 a.m. trainers with us.
Yeah, I was a 5:45 p.m. for life. But then kids, you know, and everything changed. And now I'm a religious 6 a.m. I try not to miss one.
Yep.
Yep.
What was the biggest hurdle you faced early doors?
I don't know.
We can come back to that one if you like.
Yeah, I don't know.
And just on the start, before we graduate onwards to where you are now, what do you think, if you could go back, what would you change? Or what would you do better or not put as much pressure on? You know, if there was an area that you would focus on.
I wish I knew what I know now about food.
Oh yeah, I think we'd all say that. I'd definitely crap on about that all the time.
That it doesn't really matter how, like, competing against other people. I always thought that everyone was looking at you.
Yeah.
And no one is.
No.
They're only focusing on themselves and trying to do their best, which is, it took me ages to realize that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to that, especially, you know, if it's something that's holding them back from joining a gym or going to a group session, is the peer pressure of, I'm not going to be fit enough, I'm not going to be strong enough. And it's something that people learn over the course of time, I think, is that actually people are far too involved in their own journey to worry too much about what other people are doing.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think a lot of people would say that. What has changed? So obviously you've come through the park and then we moved indoors and you sort of made the transition to a morning trainer before Millie.
Yeah.
Who was born in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
2018. What has been the biggest change since having your first child?
What some called a high risk pregnancy.
Yeah.
Some deficits, I guess, from that. I've had a long standing back injury.
Yeah.
Or not injury, just a little thing that's really annoying often.
Yeah. I would just sort of call it a consideration now, as much as anything. Yeah.
And my own impatience. So
yeah.
I've found that probably the biggest hurdle. Like you said to me yesterday, I think you're not training for the Olympics. I am just a weekend warrior.
Yeah.
I need to not rush stuff.
I would say that's also one of your biggest strengths. So when I talk about that a lot to people, is having a healthy impatience.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, we don't want to sit on autopilot, but we also need a little bit of perspective on what's important right now. And I think a lot of us, and I was certainly guilty of this, get caught up in the day-to-day of, oh, I'm going to miss this run and I'm going to miss this and this has popped up, and it's just deep breath, relax. You've still been to the gym twice, three times this week. It's all fine. And I think a lot of that comes with maturity as well.
Mm.
But yes, would you say that having kids sort of was able to put all that into perspective for you?
Yes. The other thing that I think about a lot is that there's so much out, when kids are inherently unpredictable, right?
Yeah.
There's so much outside of your control during that period, or even now, 4.5, almost 5 years later. I've started trying to control the controllable.
Yep.
And let everything else sort of just happen.
Yeah. Would you say that was something that you learned early doors with Millie or since having Patrick?
Definitely since having Patrick.
Yeah.
And I think, trying not to be too existential, I think I've been much better at articulating my needs with my second baby.
Yeah.
Thanks, Benno, as well.
Not me. Husband, Benno. Yeah.
Because I've been able to take much better care of myself and in turn then take much better care of my family.
Yes. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I just think having one kid is hard enough, but then having two, I think, just puts everything in clarity. It was the like, okay, this is what
needs of everybody.
Yeah, this is what I need to then best show up. And yeah, I would say that it's one of my biggest flaws is that if I don't do something for me early on, I'm a miserable person to be around in regards to, like, you know, exercise or some kind of selfish, you know, half an hour. I need that to then be the best father, partner, all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
It's something that I'm working on, I think.
The transition to the morning for me has been, you know, it's not, like I said, it's not for everybody, but it's out of the way. It's done. There's few things that can get in the way unless, you know, you've had a kid up all night or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's done by 7 a.m., you know, your day's just beginning and you've already done, I've already done something for myself, and I am often exhausted by the time I reach my desk, but also really proud of what I've been able to achieve pre 8:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's hugely important for people, and we talk about it a lot, and I think a lot of people can fall into the trap, especially mums. I would say that generally speaking, mums struggle with this more than dads, is that dads are able to, and I think you don't have to look too far into your own life to see, like, in your own community and friendship group, dads maintain their hobbies much better than mums do, I think. They try and become everything for everyone.
Yeah.
And often the person who gets left behind is themselves, and kind of fall into that trap of looking after everyone except yourself and then trying to pick up the pieces years later. And that can be a really tough spot. So finding something that you're consistent with and that you're successful with, I think, is a credit to you, but also super important for people who feel as though that it's a little bit out of reach, or that they don't have time, or they don't have the bandwidth at the moment to be able to prioritize themselves. It can be done. And little hinges swing big doors. You know, it's the little small actions that make the biggest difference. Like, just because it appears like a mountain to climb doesn't mean you need to do it in a day.
Yep.
You can just take little nibbles at it over the course of time and the wheel will turn. Now, has your motivation changed? Like, that internal drive from trying to outrun a bad diet/lifestyle? We neglected to mention that you did quit smoking. That was when we were doing boot camp. You've now been, what's the term? Clean, dry, sober? You've now been smoke-free
for more than 6 years.
6 years,
yeah.
Which is an achievement in itself. I mean, obviously, it's incredibly addictive and lots of people struggle to kick that habit.
Mm-hmm.
What's changed in regards to your, without sounding too Byron Bay hipster, your why for training has changed obviously over the course of time. Where's been the biggest shift?
Pre-kids, I would say it was more body composition. I wanted to be fit, toned.
Yep.
And that was that.
Yep. Comfortable in clothes, look good, all that jazz.
Feel good, look good, that sort of thing. Post my kids, I would say the motivation is to be strong and not to, to run around after them, to be able to lift them up to do things, and be a good role model. The language I use with my kids, and I love that my daughter has seen me in the gym. She's been coming here with me since she was 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
And she loves it. She often asks if she can come with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's really important. I don't want her to get to 23 or however old I was and not have done a burpee or feel
not be exposed.
Strong.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question, so I need a little bit of help, because my biggest fear is teenage girls. They were my biggest fear when I was a teenage boy. and when my little girl, Mia, is 15 and comes to me and says, "Dad, I'm ugly. Dad, I look like a man," or, you know, whatever it is, like, that will break my heart and I will not know what to say. So, you know, obviously, as a guy, like, everyone has insecurities. Like, that's a global thing. No one is immune from feeling totally, you know, at a loss on how to change their physique or their body or their health. We've all experienced that, and we all still do. Like, to have insecurities is to be human.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, you've obviously been a teenage girl. How should I, as a dad, best handle that?
Wow.
Yeah.
We're hitting the big questions before coffee this morning.
I'm asking all the mums this because it is something that I worry about. I'm not so much with the boys because I feel as a boy I can relate to them better based on past experiences. And, you know, I was an insecure teenager as well. So, like, you know, I understand not being comfortable in your skin, and I think that's normal. But, yeah, it is something that I think about often.
Yeah. I think the gym has been huge for my confidence.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at 4.5, and you read things about young girls that, you know, early in their life they don't like their bodies, or they don't, you know, they're comparing themselves to others.
Yeah.
You know, I've started really early, and my husband would roll his eyes at me all the time, but I do... people comment on how gorgeous or aesthetically they comment on our daughter a lot.
Yeah.
Which I always follow up with, and kind and brave and strong.
Yeah.
I
would roll my eyes too. Yeah.
I think it's really important not to put the focus on it. I don't know if it'll help, but I'm trying as hard as I can. From now, because I think, like, life is so hard to navigate.
Yeah.
And being a teenage girl is so hard. Like, I remember being such an asshole to my parents. But if we can do anything, it's to boost their confidence, right? And
yes.
To be happy in their own body. And there's so many things outside of our control with that. But education, like, give her the right tools, make... at the moment I'm making her eat, but I'm hoping that she will make good choices in nutrition, and I will be able to pass that on. But I think exercise, happiness, you know, it's part of my stress management. It's part of my makeup now. And so I'm hoping that that goes across to her. I think that I've got a lot of karma coming to me in the teenage years of my daughter.
Yeah.
It's like arguing with a little version of myself already.
Yeah.
But I'm just doing my best.
Yeah. I do like the idea around trying to build up their confidence as much as possible. And I know that Millie and Mia share a lot of similarities. Like, Mia wakes up now and it's so foreign to both of us at home because, I mean, Danny's not really a girly girl.
Mm.
She'd probably say that I'm a girly boy, but it's like... She always says, I have to get in a beautiful party dress and pretty nails and this and that. And I find myself, you know, kind of like the, you know, and brave and kind and strong, sort of like, you know, you look beautiful in anything you wear, always beautiful to me. Like, always saying this stuff that I would hear other people say and just, you know, roll my eyes and be like, does that really work? And I think that you're right. It's as much about building up their confidence so that they become almost... you know, immune to stuff that can kind of knock them off their perch. And I know teenagers are super impressionable and will, you know, follow the person who they respect, or they will follow the leader. But yeah, I don't know. I'm still petrified.
I know, it's scary.
And the proof will be in the pudding, I guess. So
we'll
have to see what happens when we get there. I think a lot of our parenting style is based upon how we were parented ourselves as kids. So that brave and kind and strong, is that something that you think would have helped you at that age?
Yeah.
Yeah, for
very
sure.
Very much so.
Yeah?
Yeah. I also, like, my daughter, they are very similar, Mia and Millie. You know, Millie would prefer that I had beautiful nails and wore beautiful dresses. And she often says, you know, if I do dress up, she will go, whoa, Mom, which is huge for my confidence as well. But, you know, there's so many outside influences that she will get a lot of that in anyway.
Yeah.
I'm controlling what I can control and being, you know, a good person.
Yeah.
And I want her to be, I so want her to be a good person.
I know, isn't it? It's like, you know, by the time you're 18, it's like, hands off the wheel, please don't be a dickhead.
Please.
Please. But, you know, they will make mistakes as we did, as I continue to do. So, yeah, it'll be what it will be. But I like the idea of trying to build up their confidence as much as possible. Now, your routine at the moment, like, I'm a huge one for, you know, and as you said, controlling the controllables. And I think where a lot of people go wrong in regards to the pure X's and O's of fitness results is they rely far too much on self-control and willpower and not enough on organization, setting themselves up so that it's actually quite hard to fail. So what are some of the key areas or key behaviors that you do every week that you think sets you up to be successful in the health and fitness field?
I plan out my week.
In regards to?
When I'm going to train.
Yep.
And I have non-negotiables.
What are those?
A few for the day. So I very rarely hit under 12,000 steps in a day.
Yep.
Often it, I have to try to do that.
Yep.
It's not, I have a sedentary job.
Do you find it's fairly seasonal? So it's like a lot harder in June, July, August.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely. I drink between 2 and 3 liters of water a day. Again.
Yep.
Very hard.
Yep.
I have to make myself do it. I've switched to hot water in winter, which is which is an odd thing. And I go by a Mediterranean diet, I think you would call it.
Yeah.
It's closely linked to.
When you say a Mediterranean diet, I think this is an important distinction. Is there anything that you flat out don't eat?
No.
Okay.
And I like to drink.
Yes. So, because I think as soon as people hear the word diet, and I just make this clear, because I know this, but I know some people who listen won't know this. As soon as they hear the word diet, they shut down a little bit.
Yeah, no.
Or they might get a little bit of, you
I'm definitely no purist.
Yeah.
And I do love a hamburger or a parma just like anyone else.
Yeah.
But most of the time, and I would call it probably 80%, I'm pretty... I really enjoy making food for my family and making sure that they're well.
Yep. So you're taking a lot of satisfaction out of looking after people health-wise as well as yourself.
Super proud of what my kids are eating.
Yep.
Yep. And so I've implemented that. And my, you know, my partner.
rabbit.
I'm in control of what he eats of a nighttime.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of what he of that as well, because if it was up to him, he'd be eating Shapes and KFC.
Shapes and KFC are both awesome. Yeah, sure.
Yep.
So we've got the key behaviors, the non-negotiable. So if you were giving someone some advice, let's say you of 10 years ago, and they were to hear you speaking now about 3 liters of water and 12,000 steps, and I book my gym sessions and we eat really well.
Yep.
What piece of advice would you give to someone trying to then reach that kind of level of protocol? Because, you know, talking again about where a lot of people go wrong and that little hinges swing big doors, and that whole idea is going from 0 to 100 is the fastest way to fail.
Absolutely.
So
cutting things out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that jazz, or just going straight from I drink only black coffee to now I'm going to drink 3 liters of water. Like, what piece of advice would you give to someone who's just starting out trying to make some changes like that?
One of the biggest things for me, I think, and a change, a real change in mindset for me was eat food that has a use-by date.
Yeah.
You know, that can go off.
Yeah.
And goes off quite quickly.
Yeah.
And so that's mostly fresh.
Yeah, mostly quality ingredients.
Yep.
As a general rule.
Yeah, mostly. And then gut health, I try and... yeah, it's my second brain, and I know that that sounds like a wanker thing.
It's not really. For those, I mean, it does sound like a bit of a wanker way of putting it, but for those in the know, like, the signals that you get from your stomach to your brain are massive.
Yeah, You know, you read the heaps of books about baby food and what they're meant to be eating in the first, you know, starting solids and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you give your kid things that you wouldn't eat yourself, sort of?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just tried to make really small changes.
Yeah.
And introduce things. And I'm hungry. Like, there's no way that I'm not going to... I'm a hungry human, I would describe myself as.
Yeah.
So I look at really high volume food.
Yeah.
And try and eat as much as I can.
Yeah. So I think the key thing you said then was the small changes over a longer period of time. Like, if you were to change something, like, how would you try and implement it, and how long would you give yourself before you would expect to see some kind of result?
A while. And, like, one of the biggest changes we've noticed is, like, full fat cow's milk dairy.
Yeah. Yeah. Real milk.
Real milk.
Yeah.
That was such a small change that I was so adamant that I was not going to make. And so to move to
as
either...
As in not to remove it?
Yeah.
Why did you remove it?
A saturated fat thing.
Yeah.
I want the calcium.
Yeah.
Post children and getting a little bit older,
yeah,
that's going to become even more important.
Helps the bone strength,
yeah,
calcium, yeah.
I just got so stuck on things like you know, I can't be eating bread and small little things that got in my head, and I've had to reprogram the way that I think about lots of things, which has really helped.
Yeah. A follow-up question to that, with that reprogramming.
Yep.
Beg your pardon. What are some of your favorite sources of information on social media in particular? Because whilst it can be an absolute cesspit, it also does give some of the best coaches in the world basically a microphone to then amplify a message just beyond their postcode.
Yep. There's a podcast that I love called The Nutrition Couch.
Yep.
I
haven't heard of that one.
Which is two dietitians, one who, well, they both specialize in fat loss, which is not really my thing. But one of them is a sports dietitian and her niche is gut health, I guess.
Yep.
And the other one is perimenopause and insulin resistance, which I'm just a bit of a
super
nerd about.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, as we get older, absolutely. When I say we, especially with the perimenopausal stuff, ladies, for sure. So the Nutrition Couch, any other accounts?
The Moving Dietitian, who is a volume eater. She describes herself as a very hungry human.
Yeah.
And, it's all about low calorie, high volume, high nutrient density.
Yeah.
Let
me just explain that for a second. So when people say high volume, we're talking about stuff that, as you said, is lower calorie, but like takes up a lot of space. So think salads, think low fat proteins, horses, like a big chicken breast compared to pork belly or something like that. So high volume means lots of space for, you know, a relatively low cost energy wise. And, you know, like, you would typically look at a plate of food and say, oh, that looks healthy, and it would kind of be a high volume plate of food, just for clarification there.
Yep.
The Moving Dietitian on Instagram?
Yes.
Oh, I have to check it out. I don't know that one either. So I'm feeling very out of the loop now. Okay, so what are you currently working on?
I would say my core, like in terms of in the gym?
Anything.
My core, I think, needs a bit of help. I've just recently come out of having a very sore shoulder, which I think was, a combination of picking up a farmer's carry that I couldn't quite handle.
Yeah.
And poor. I just had a couple of really, really busy, fun, but busy weeks. And my recovery wasn't quite as where it was.
Yeah.
So I had to pull back on how many sessions. So I probably went to four. Pulled back on how strong, well, the strength sessions on a couple of those. You can't be perfect every day.
Yeah.
And now I'm really focusing on sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you think you would have reacted to an injury in like that, where nothing crazy, but it certainly knocks you off your normal,
mm-hmm.
in 2017 compared to now?
Oh, I probably would have fallen off the entire wagon in 2017. And by, yep. I think I'm really holistic. Like, if I'm working out, I'm eating well, I'm sleeping well, everything is sort of happening.
Yeah.
If one of those balls in the air drops, I find it really challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
From a mental health perspective.
Yep.
And then, yeah, in 2017, I probably would have dropped them all and had a couple of weeks off and gotten a message from you saying, hi, how are you? Are we going to see you again?
The old passive-aggressive, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Obviously crap because I haven't seen you, that, yeah, sort of message. Yeah.
But now I sort of just pick it up and come in and do the slow and steady wins this race rather than trying to win it every day.
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes from,
yeah,
maturity, and it probably knocks you off your perch a little bit, as it does me. I crack the shits when I'm injured.
My Benno is like, going to the gym today? Please go.
Please
to the gym.
Get out of the house.
Yeah.
What's something recently that you've changed your mind on? And I was excited to ask you this question because those who know you would say that you're not backwards in coming forwards.
No.
And you're quite strong on opinions, mm-hmm. which when people say that, it usually is a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it means you've got confidence in your beliefs, mm-hmm. which I think is an important thing. But for you to change your mind, I would say would be a big deal.
Yep.
What's something that has kind of forced you to change your mind, or a new idea that you're trying to embrace?
Well, can we come back to that one?
Can we come back to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we sure can. Something you've changed your mind on which we can consider. And what do you think at this stage? So you're working 4 days a week?
Yep. Just gone up from 3 days to 4 days.
Yeah. How do you manage everything? So two kids under the age of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick's just turned 1.
Yep.
Millie is heading into prep next year.
Yep.
Which will change your routine a little bit because school hours are less than kinder daycare hours, obviously, mm-hmm. as bizarre as that is. So how do you manage everything? Because I think a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's too much or this and that, and fall into a little bit of woe is me, which is fine. We can fall into that, but it's important not to stay there. And I think you're a shining example of someone who, as you said, it's important for you to control the controllables. So what sort of stuff do you think, like the top two things, apart from training, because I know exercise, as it is for me, could probably sometimes be a little bit of a crutch, where, yep, if we take that away, it's important that it's not a house of cards when it comes to everything else.
Yep.
So what's two... And I want to move away from the physical and move more towards the mindset. What's a couple of things that you think help you balance everything?
Realizing that not every week can be perfect.
Yep.
So recently I was describing to a friend that I was having what I would call a really hectic week, and nothing, and everything seemed sort of out of balance. And my one of the solutions to that was that I had gone to Oasis and,
yep,
bought 3 or 4 salads, pre-made salads,
yep,
and was having that for lunch, 3 or 4 salads and a tin of tuna on it, and just saying not every week could be perfect. And that person, the perspective they gave me was, wow, yum, that sounds perfect. And I thought, well, I haven't made it myself.
Yep.
It's not mine. There's other things that I probably wouldn't have added into it. It cost too much because, you know, tight ass.
No, but also salads from Oasis. Sorry, Oasis, if you're listening. They do cost a lot. And
they,
I understand,
do,
the labour and everything. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But pre-made salads is probably not the most
economically
efficient.
1 week, you know, like it doesn't matter. I have to say, and I know you don't agree, but get an air fryer.
It's not.
It's been the biggest game changer for me. I can roast a potato in 15 minutes without preheating my oven.
Can I clarify my stance on air fryers? I'm a huge fan of convenience.
Yeah.
Provided that it's, you know, like serving your goals and needs and all that kind of stuff. I don't use an air fryer because I don't need to.
Yeah.
If I did need to, I would use one. But I'm home after school most arvos, so I'm able to cook with the oven. And I prefer the flavor from the oven. Now, if you are an air fry enthusiast, go right ahead. Go right ahead. However, if you start saying that it tastes better, I'm going to come for you. And that's it.
The other thing that I do almost religiously is that we all eat the same food now. Patrick's, 14 months old.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah, it makes a really big difference to me because for a while there, I was making 4 different meals.
Yep.
And for 4 different tastes. And it just wasn't working for me.
Yeah, and you were saying how it's important for you, for Millie especially, to see you exercising and prioritising your health and fitness. Mm-hmm. What does it say when, mum's on a diet again?
Yeah, no, I don't want her mum's to see that.
Or doing this, or why does mum eat something different? I think especially mum, more so than dad.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that's incredibly important. And a preconceived belief, certainly, that... Oh, well, my kids only like rice and pasta and, it's very hard for me to be healthy and, lose weight or whatever the goal is because we're feeling as a little bit of a prisoner of the taste buds of our kids.
Yeah.
And I think that is a preconceived belief that I might have to do an episode on and reframe that a little bit. It just comes down to portion control ultimately and knowing what you need to fuel your body, because you can make a healthy meal out of almost any ingredients.
Absolutely.
As long as you've got a little bit of variety there and a rough knowledge on macronutrients and the way they affect your body and how much of them you need, which if you're starting from scratch, all that can sound like a lot. But after an hour or two and a week of practice, I think you'd be staggered at how quickly you could really take control over your meals. And then after you've taken control of your meals and you can apply it consistently, like how quickly you can take control over your body composition, health and fitness as a result.
Mm-hmm.
Looping back around.
Yes.
Something you've changed your mind on.
I guess the control. So I've had to relinquish some control over some things I can't.
Yep.
Not every week and not every training session is going to be perfect.
Yep.
So that's one of... I used to try to make every session and I used to get injured or have 5 sessions in
too
a week.
Much.
And the next week get really sick. And really I think I'm maturing. I guess I've grown up in this gym.
Yeah.
I scale myself now.
Yeah.
Which is something that I've never been good at. And the other thing that is major for me is I'm really not that good at relaxing.
We've spoken about that before. Yeah.
The idea of sitting in and watching a movie in the middle of the day is sort of my idea of a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm active. I like to do stuff, but there's so much for rest and to be said for rest and recovery.
Yeah.
That I have often misjudged.
Yeah. Neglected.
And underestimated.
Yeah. I think we could all say that in our younger days. You can get results. Especially early days in the gym, almost in spite of your lifestyle.
Absolutely.
And that is the difference between a neurological adaptation and then a physiological adaptation. And, an adaptation is basically just a fancy way of saying results.
Mm-hmm.
But a neurological adaptation is your brain forging new pathways and getting stronger and sending the signals for more muscle fibers to contract and seeing the weight it going up on the bar and all of the stuff that kind of happens under the bonnet. But after a while, and this is where a lot of people will get great results in their first 3 to 4 months of training,
mm-hmm.
and then they will plateau a little bit, is because all of a sudden those neurological results, they've been made, And then it's time for you to kind of practice your lifestyle habits and support your training through effective nutrition, proper sleep, making sure that you are controlling the controllables, which will probably be the theme of this episode, I'm sure. But you know, you need to support the changes that you're trying to make, otherwise your results will certainly slow down.
One of the things I you know, I'm always at the 6 a.m. and I talk to a lot of different people that are that are here, and one of the questions I get a lot is, does it ever get any easier?
As in the training?
Yeah. And I think you just get faster. You don't notice it. You get faster, you get stronger, it feels better. And
there's a bit of nuance to that question.
Yeah.
Because easier, it's like, well, easier how?
Yeah.
You know, like easier as in the exercises get easier. It's like, well, no, I get stronger and put more weights on the bar. What does get easier is getting out of bed.
Absolutely.
I think what people are asking without realizing they're asking is, will I be crippled for 2 weeks like I was at the start? And it's like, well, no, your body does get used to the stimulus and it gets easier because you will do a session now and not feel it for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Whereas when you first start at the gym, especially doing strength training, and you do your first session with lunges in it, you're like, oh my God, like, what is this? I can't walk. Is this how I'm supposed to live now? Like, is this the price I have to pay? And it's like, no, 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 that's just a growing pain. In the same way that, you know, when kids start kinder or prep, they're absolutely exhausted for the first month and then they get used to it, no different in the gym.
Yep.
Now, I am a huge fan of the Pareto principle. Do you know what it is?
No.
So the Pareto principle is basically the idea that 20% of the work you do gets you 80% of the results.
Mm-hmm.
And you can extrapolate it to the workforce where you might work in a small team of 10 people and two of those people are responsible for a large amount of output. And I think a lot of people would be able to kind of think about that in their own life and go, oh yeah, that's probably right. Mm. Or, you know, a sporting team, you might have a star player who produces a lot of the points on a basketball team. What do you think in your lifestyle is the 20% that yields 80% of the results?
Ooh.
And I can give you an example of mine if you would like. So
please.
I mentioned earlier how important it is to be organized and prepared. Well, on a Sunday night in our house, and if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, we do a big meal. So either a barbecue or a roast. And we're pretty protective of that time because if we don't, it pretty well stuffs us for the rest of the week because we don't have food in the house for lunches or for, you know, like a dinner.
Yep.
So that is one thing that yields like a big result because it takes care of multiple meals throughout the week because we both work full time, extracurricular activities, same as everyone else, we are low on time. So it's more important to be efficient with your actions.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that that would be, if we didn't do that, being healthier would be significantly harder because we'd be flying around being a little bit reactionary rather than being proactive and setting ourselves up for success.
Yep.
So that would be a big one in our house, which sounds super simple, but all the best changes are super simple. You just got to carve out time to get it done.
I think it's planning. For me, it's planning, but not in terms of like what we're going to eat or have it available.
Yep.
But Ben and I sit down every Sunday night and I make him write it because otherwise it's just... but we'd have a plan.
Shout out to Ben.
We have a plan for the week, what's happening for everybody, who's in charge of drop-offs, who's in charge of pickups, where we are in the office or what days I'm going to the gym, who's out at night, who's, you know, whatever, all the ins and outs that make, you know, the circus work. And we plan that out on Sunday night. I don't deal very well when something changes in that plan, so that's probably
maybe something to work on.
It's probably something to work on.
How long does that take?
Very short, like maybe less than
5-10 minutes. And when it comes to the results from that, this is a perfect example of the Pareto principle, like the amount of stress that you can relieve with a 10 minute powwow. What have we got? Enormous. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's perfect. And shout out to Dan, if you are listening. he has like a planner up in their kitchen, which is like whiteboards, kids, extracurriculum activity. He sent me a photo of it. It's amazing. And it's exactly the sort of stuff that I think is super helpful. That people who aren't a part of the rat race, kids here, work here, you know, gym here, health here, like trying to manage everything, they don't understand until you get there and you're like, oh my God, it's basically like running a small business. The more planned you can be, the better.
And then, yeah, we have to ask for help from other people. It takes a village, right? And so we have people that pick our kids up on Mondays for us. And, and it just, it makes the dream work, I guess.
Yeah,
or the circus work.
Organization is key. Last question, and I'll let you go. If people were to, so removing your own ideas, why do you think, so from the outside looking in, as someone looking at you, what do you think you would say about yourself? Like, why are you successful at health and fitness?
I'm just doing my best. And that's changed over time, but I think at the moment, if people are looking at me, you know, I've got an hour in the morning. And that's my investment into me. I think I get the most bang for my buck, and buck being time, being here, doing a strength and a conditioning part.
Official with exercise style.
And it really suits me. I like, I have so many decisions to make throughout my day. I like to be told what to do by you.
Occasionally,
Every morning. And that works for me. But I feel, when I feel good, I'm on. And so.
It's all about feeling good.
And everything else falls into place after that. So.
I would say that you're successful, from my perspective, because you saw the benefits of consistency early, as in, oh wow, if I just rock up, stuff's happening. And maybe if you hadn't paid up front, you would have never come back. So there might, you know, there might be a lesson in that. But you saw the, like, the results that you were getting simply by showing up, and then you were curious enough to extrapolate that to not just inside the gym, to outside the gym. Like, and that speaks to the lifestyle stuff. It's like, okay, well, if I just expose myself to this, which is weight training, I can see this result. What else can I be consistent with? And that speaks to the small changes as opposed to big sweeping changes. Like, I can't ever remember you doing anything drastic. I mean, apart from quitting smoking, you know, which is drastic. But even the way you did that was just a day-to-day, you know, one step at a time approach that you take to everything. And I think people look at you now in our gym and say, you know, like, say, like, oh, that's amazing. You know, like, she's so strong, and you're certainly one of our strongest ladies, but it was the small steps that got you there. And that's why I was keen to talk to you on the podcast today, because you are a shining example of, you know, our overall methodology, really, which is no drastic measures, small steps, and you'll be there before you know it. And that massive change doesn't require massive action. So thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for
having me. I'm
aware
of your time. I've taken up 50 minutes on a Thursday, and I know that probably wasn't factored into the Sunday powwow for this week. So sorry to stress you out with a bit of change, but
all good.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. See you soon.
Bye.